Antiguamente en el Perú había tres razas antes que entren los españoles. La raza Shipiba y la raza Incaico y la raza Quechua. De ahí viene la leyenda de los Shipibos y sus medicinas, la ayahuasca. Su tierra natal es Ucayali, Pucallpa. Los incas tenían que enseñar a los razas Shipibos. Por eso nosotros los Shipibos hacemos arte, trabajamos la tierra. En ese tiempo había plantas poderosas muy cercanas. Los Shipibos antiguos han pensado probar la planta, porque ellos veían plantas cae su semilla. Si el pescado comía, el pescado volaba. Mejor ellos no comieron. Ellos tenían que dietar. Esa planta se llamaba Nuyarrao. En el sueño le dijeron los espíritus de Nuyarrao: en tal sitio hay planta de la ayahuasca, tal parte hay la chacruna. Al día siguiente el hombre se fue tal sitio, me dijo, y ahí estaba. Lo cogió y preparó y tomó ese shipibo. Ha visto buena medicina. Las plantas maestras nos abre la vida, el conocimiento. Sin plantas nosotros no podemos conocer el mundo cósmico. Y es lo que sabe, viene acá.
Part of me thought that I'd do it and everything will be magically fixed for me.
It's really hard to define how these experiences impact your life because they do in so many ways.
There was a before and there was an after, and a very clear line. And the line was ayahuasca.
La selva para mí es una comunidad que me siento protegido y que nos cuida y que me enseña mucho, porque esta selva también tiene su energía y esa energía nos da fuerza para estar preparado, curar cada persona.
It's interesting because in medical school we're not taught about energies or about spirits. So doctors can't fix what they can't see. So it's almost like there's a different lens that this shaman is bringing in, one that we're not necessarily seeing.
Science is very good, but it's very limited. So the implications of this is there are many other ways to know. There are other forms of knowing that are not scientific, yet they are valid.
Nuestra cultura es diferente, ¿no? Nuestra cultura, nosotros, las plantas maestras, la ayahuasca, nosotros valoramos. Nosotros estamos poniendo adelante, no atrás.
I have sat with probably about 65 shamans or so, maybe a few more. But I've never experienced the craft at the level of talent that I've experienced with the really good Shipibo shamans.
Cuando nosotros estamos chiquitos, nosotros tomamos las plantas. Así vamos a venir preparando a nuestros hijos también.
The Shipibo, they are already connected. They have been raised in the knowledge of the spiritual world. This is a reality for them. And they know that they can learn from plants. So they're gonna go directly on the step of how to learn and how to heal.
La planta tiene espíritu. Nosotros tenemos que conectarnos bien.
These teaching plants are the channels from which Gaia, or the spirit of nature, conveys what you need to know. And somehow or other, these plants, particularly ayahuasca, has an uncanny sense of exactly what it is you need to be, what needs to be revealed to you.
When I turned 40, I hit kind of a place in my life that I immediately defined as a midlife crisis. And so for my birthday, I decided to give myself a special gift. And a good friend of mine was mentioning magic mushrooms in Mexico, in Oaxaca, with a shaman. I was like, wow, how cool is that? When I decided to go to Oaxaca to do the magic mushrooms, I mentioned this to my mom, and she did not like this idea.
Bueno, me preocupa lo desconocido. Más que nada.
She thought it was the worst idea. She actually said to me, "Ay, mijo, why don't you just go to a beach and get drunk all day and chase women?" And I'm like, no, that's actually, I'm kind of trying to get away from that. I can't say that particular ceremony shifted much in my life, but one thing that where I am now seems just magical to me is that the next day after doing this ceremony with the shaman in Oaxaca, he said, now that you've met the children, you've got to meet the mother. And I'm like, who's the mother? And he said, ayahuasca. I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he said, don't worry. When the time is right, she will call you. 9-10 months later, I felt the call.
I was in my 20s when I first met the medicine. I just graduated college. I was a student athlete at USC, and I was a professional swimmer. I was Pac-10 champion, national champion. I was coming from a few years of being a successful sportsman. And so I had this thing with success that was a bit in conflict with another side of me, which was the artistic side of me that I had been cultivated also since I was a little kid. And so I went to the medicine a little bit looking for clarity, struggling a little bit with direction, because a part of me, the competitive one, wanted like a career, wanted to make money. But there was also the other side of me that was the creative one, the kid in me that just enjoyed painting and being creative. And so I went to the medicine looking for clarity and help.
I had a friend, and she told me about ayahuasca, and she was actually going to Peru. She also told me that it produces hallucinations, and part of it is vomiting and having diarrhea, and I didn't think much of it aside from a little bit of judgment, like, why do it? After she came back, I remember we took a walk through Central Park, and as she was telling me what she had experienced, I wasn't so much interested in the context of the experience, but there was energy around her that, like, sense of purpose and joy and just overall content that was so new. And I thought to myself, maybe that's the thing I've been looking for.
I got an email with all of the
the preparation that one has to undertake. No red meat, no oils, no, it's very limited. I followed the diet very, very closely. And some things I couldn't really explain, but I was like, okay, well, let me just go with it, you know. But the one I found interesting was no masturbation and no sex. And I was like, okay, purity, I can see the whole purity thing. I can go with that.
Nosotros tenemos que estar muy concentrado espiritualmente. Eso te va a conectar bien.
So there is a practice in the Shipibo lineage when you're coming to drink ayahuasca that takes place now of taking a vomitivo in advance of drinking ayahuasca.
And this is one spoon, huh?
No, but just the second one now.
Ah, okay. No.
Only one? Honey,
you're doing it. I mean, it's still going to work, still, right?
Yeah, it's going to work.
Okay.
It's two normally. So just to tell me, maybe you're a bit sensitive. We can choose to just add one.
Just add one.
All right.
I was a little shocked to hear that one of the first things that they give you is this thing called the vomitivo. And it's this milky white substance that they make from two plants called azucena and hoje. And it's, you just chug it and you drink it as fast as you can. And what happens is once you get it all down, it will come right back up.
Vomitivo is taken in part because people may not have dieted and maybe they have things in their system that they shouldn't coming to ayahuasca. So it's a safeguard, it's a safety measure, but also is a purging of this like stringy, mucousy, sticky stuff that we have in us. So when we clean, we have a clear container to receive the ayahuasca. We have a clear container to receive the master plant that we're dieting with.
Nosotros encontramos espíritu de la medicina a base de las dietas. Cada toma, las plantas, las raíces, va a ir conectando con nosotros.
La dieta también es no comer sal, no comer azúcar, no tomar leche, no aceite, no sexualidad.
The idea is to remove any interferences that are around us so that we can connect deeper to the master plants.
Certain plants, they do refer to as master plants. Those plants that are, whether they're trees, whether they're flowers, whatever, they're vines. They regard certain ones of these plants as kind of, you know, the big plants that deliver a particularly powerful healing force and assistance once you have a good relationship with them.
I was seeking help in terms of connecting on a deeper way with my artistic side, in order to be able to bring forth like a project or like a body of work that was gonna be meaningful, not just for myself, but for the community. Estella prescribed me a diet with piñón colorado, which is this little plant that grows everywhere in the village. And she told me to pick the leaves of this plant, and in the meantime, to talk to the plant, to ask for assistance, to ask what I was looking for. Because one thing is ayahuasca and the visionary psychotropic world of ayahuasca, but to do it during the day, to talk to a plant that you're picking, its leaves, was a different kind of suggestion, you know? But I did it.
For me, as a doctor, I would say, yeah, that sounds very strange. I didn't believe that or understand that. But then in doing that, I learned a lot. I went through the experience. I decided to enter this mystical school and try to see what I could learn based on what I had seen these shamans and these healers doing, how they were performing, and the kind of results they had with people.
First of all, it's passing that block of how do I talk to a plant? For me, it was that. I mean, a plant's teaching me. I'm used to opening a book.
Las plantas no, ellas no hablan de una manera, pues, como humana, ¿no?
te muestran las cosas.
The first night that I was doing the diet, I woke up from a dream. And in this dream, there was this giant red snake coming down from the sky. The same color, the same red as the Piñón Colorado. The snake was coming down from the sky singing a song, and I woke up. It wasn't intimidating. I wasn't, you know, afraid of the snake. It was a friendly presence. But it was such a peculiar dream that I woke up. So in the morning, Estella, the first question that she asked me is like, how did I sleep? And I told her that I slept good, but I did wake up through this dream. And she told me that this is how plants very often show up to establish the connection with the people that diet these plants.
The plants are always connected to us. I believe that it is more about our awareness of that connection. And what helps to bring that awareness online is when the food is removed, the social activities are removed either completely or significantly, where you retrieve from your life and make the relationship with the plant your primary relationship.
And what happened a month later is that I had filled up a notebook this big of ideas for art projects, for scripts, for all sorts of different projects that were inspired by the dreams that I would have throughout the night. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and take notes. These people, the Shipibos, are pharmacists of the jungle. They have so much knowledge, and not only about, you know, like the plant to give you if you cut yourself. They have a plant for your depression. They have a plant that you can diet for your creativity, for your reproductive system.
Este se llama Shiringa. Antiguamente llamaban caucho. Y este árbol es un palo maestro que cura tumores, cáncer y diabetes. Este de acá se llama abuta. Abuta es un gran medicina que cura diabetes, también cura infecciones interiores, infecciones del vientre, todo tipo de infecciones que tiene en nuestro cuerpo. Este de acá es igual como suelda con suelda. De acá se aprende para maestros en huesos. Se puede curar con el masaje. Se puede curar con la meditación. Esta es una medicina muy fuerte también.
When you invite a plant or an energy, they teach you actitudes and they give you intelligence. You understand. You understand, okay. And there is concept, spiritual concept. Then your visions open bigger when you know what is meaning, this type of healing, including the spiritual part, open you up to something new. So you start to facilitate. Then you do one diet, another diet, and then your knowledge, your understanding open up. And then you get to the point to become Onaya, which is means literally the person who knows.
La planta le enseña todo. La medicina tiene su oscuridad, tiene su luz. Pero como un buen preparado, tiene que recibir puro luz. Luz, 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 luz. Para que la medicina también sea luz. Y para que la maestra o maestro también sea luz.
I kept working with the medicine for a year after I went to Peru. Second time, a year later, I went back to the same center. And again, my last ceremony there, I had this vision with the medicine. And it felt like so much like a yes, like absolutely yes. It was like an invitation of some sort.
Para ser chamán es, tiene que ser una persona de responsabilidad en todo.
Thank you.
Estela, Pangosa, y mi hermana es Emérita.
Primeramente, para ser chamán, nosotros tenemos que utilizar la planta de ayahuasca. Sin ayahuasca, nosotros nunca vamos a entrar al campo de chamanismo.
Ayahuasca is the only combinatory psychedelic in the world. That is, it takes two plants. It takes a vine and it takes leaf to make.
Ayahuasca vine and typically chacaruna, and that is the monoamine oxidase inhibitor, and then NN-DMT, dimethyltryptamine. Dimethyltryptamine has also been shown to increase BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is kind of like Miracle-Gro for the brain. And so that'll also allow for increased neurosynaptic connections and neurogenesis.
Ayahuasca is a plant that contains many mysteries, including what is its mechanism of action, both biologically and psychologically.
Now we have this portal that through our hearts and through our emotional being, we can feel into this energetic, into the mystery. People have mystical experiences. They feel it. They feel it in their body.
It is something that will utterly change your entire way of thinking about healing, what's possible for the body and mind, and it has the real potential to shake up medicine like no other agent on earth.
The first time that I heard about ayahuasca was when I was in my early 20s. This was in the early 1970s. And we started hearing reports from Brazil about this strange drug from the Amazon, which was having very interesting effects in the culture. So a bunch of the psychologists went down there and started doing studies. And they came back blowing everybody's minds because they were showing that this was perhaps the healthiest psychological cultures that they had ever come across.
In 1993, along with my colleagues Dennis McKenna and Jace Calloway, we went to Manaus in the Brazilian Amazon and conducted a fairly substantial phase one biomedical psychiatric evaluation of the health of long-term members of the UDV who utilize ayahuasca in religious ceremony twice monthly. We had a match control group that was matched on socioeconomic lines, education, all parameters except for the fact that they had never been exposed to ayahuasca.
Their first ayahuasca sessions were usually quite terrifying and quite unsettling, but they were also revelatory in the sense that they became quite afraid. But then there was a redemptive moment. There was a period during these difficult early experiences where they saw a way to change their life and have a better outcome.
When we did structured psychiatric diagnostic interviews, we found that quite a number of these ayahuasca church members had histories of some significant psychopathology prior to the time they entered the ayahuasca church. After their entry into the church, they actually were rather radically transformed.
On the biochemical side, we were doing various measurements. We found a surprising thing, which is that the levels of the serotonin transporters, not receptors, but the transporters, were significantly elevated in the drinkers compared to an age-matched control of non-drinkers. And we thought, well, that's interesting. There is a clear difference between the drinkers and the non-drinkers. They have these elevated levels of the transporter. What does this mean? You know, we didn't know what it meant. But then, of course, when you don't know, first thing you do is go to the literature, and we went to the literature and we found a whole spectrum of publications having to do with deficits in the transporter being associated with alcoholism and homicidal tendencies and suicidal tendencies, depression, exactly the kind of thing that the UDV people were facing.
Cuando mi hijo regresó, había muchos cambios en su vida que pues sí me emocionó mucho, ¿no? Ver todo lo que logró cuando él fue la primera vez. Dejó de fumar, también dejó de tomar.
Everything changed. I felt so much love for not only myself as a sentient being, but for all other beings. The awareness of my own body and my own body's needs was so much more clear. I seemed to have more regulated sleep cycles. I got up early. I had much more energy. I couldn't hold a grudge. You know, I mean, I got mad, you know, stuff would happen, but I couldn't let go of this because somehow I understood that if I started giving into the grudge and the anger and things like that, that this open connection that I had to the heart would just close. So I lived that way for an extended period of time. And drinking and smoking was part of that. These things just fell away. It was beautiful, and everybody around me saw it. My sister, Vivian, decided to go to Peru, and she's had her own experiences with ayahuasca. And my good friend, Joffrey, who's been my friend of 30 years, one day he said, "Brother, I think I want to go meet the mother."
I really am aware of my own depression in the last couple of years of my mother's being sick and passing. I even went on, you know, medication for a little bit that had me walking around like a zombie. But to see these people that have actually come back from this experience, and it's in their eyes, it's in the way they carry themselves, it's in their attitude about life now. It's really something to see, and I want some of that, baby. Give me some of that juice.
For some things, like Western medicine is not good at. So there's things we're great at, and then there's things that we're not very good at. And in particular, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, depression, anxiety, PTSD, there are not a lot of good treatments for it.
These problems are quite often rooted in some kind of emotional disturbance. And when somebody has been through some serious emotional trauma, they do end up having physical symptoms and associated problems. And when they go through a spiritual healing and you see a resolution of physical symptoms, well, now we can say that something happened.
I grew up with a tremendous level of abuse. It was emotional abuse, physical abuse, and sexual abuse. These experiences were something that were just like blocking me from the world, and I could nearly physically feel that.
A lot of the therapeutic potential of these psychedelics is, you hear a lot of talk these days about the default mode network, and that's a model. Your brain synthesizes, takes all this sensory data that we're getting through eyes, ears, all our sensory channels, takes that, integrates it internally with many other things, memories, associations, and sort of creates this model world that we inhabit. Psychedelics temporarily disrupt that. They blow it apart. That gives you the chance to look at yourself from a different perspective, almost as though you're not the same person. And you can there identify maybe habits or presumptions or various things that are contributing to this destructive, non-helpful behavior.
I'd heard it was kind of like a miracle drug, you know, like that it could cure any sort of mental problem you might have. So I have some problems with anxiety and like kind of an addictive personality, so I thought maybe it would cure me, you know.
Most of the people, they doesn't really want to go in this spiritual world. They're not enough, fair enough, many stories that it's fine for us just to get the healing. You have to be brave to drink ayahuasca.
There are individuals who just do not have that inner strength and fortitude to be able to handle this experience.
Not everybody is suitable for psychedelics in general, no matter whether it's mushrooms, peyote, San Pedro, LSD, or ayahuasca. Fragile people who are manic, people who are schizophrenic, people who have profound mental and emotional problems, should not be drinking this stuff.
Los que sufren presión arterial, los que tienen dolor de corazón y trauma fuerte, no cura, el paciente no se cura tomando ayahuasca. Porque si así uno viene, damos ayahuasca, el persona se puede enfermar más.
It's good to have two options. You don't have to. We have good experiences here with people who kind of had a master plan diet and never drank ayahuasca and felt great and they had awesome dreams. And they're like both options. But what Benoit says is true, you know. If you also looking into your own darkness, it can be very scary. And not everybody is ready for that in that way.
Never in my life would I have ever thought that my mother would drink ayahuasca. But one day, I was on the phone with her, and I was planning a trip to Costa Rica to drink some ayahuasca. And she said to me, oh, I wish you'd invite me. And I'm like, what are you saying, Ma? Are you saying that you want to drink the medicine? And she says, yeah. And all I could think of was, why? And she said, because I've seen what it's done for you and your sister.
Bueno, yo quiero tranquilidad. Tengo muchos miedos. Y yo creo que me va a ayudar a sacar todo lo que yo traigo dentro.
¿A qué le tienes miedo?
A quedarme sola. No sé, que quiero mucho a mi familia. Es más o menos lo que me pasa.
The tradition is very important and the intention behind this plant. And, you know, I think about it, it had to be grown and harvested and brewed and prayed over and transported and then delivered. And the intention every step of the way really matters. And that intention matches the intention that whoever's taking it is bringing to it.
I find a very, very important component of doing work with ayahuasca is formulating an intention to really focus in ahead of time on why are you doing this? Because for it to have any lasting value, it's got to be more than just kicks. It's got to be more than a recreational experience. And it really, the experience in and of itself goes to the core of that individual.
God, I thought it was going to be about the ayahuasca. I thought it was going to be about this. It's about the songs.
I had a terrible, terrible experience. I thought I was done. I thought I was dead. And one of the helpers came up to me. I asked for help, and she said, I will take you to the shaman, and they will help you. And to myself, to be honest, I thought, what a bunch of BS. Like, who's going to help me now? I can't even explain to you what's happening to me. By the time she brought me in front of the shaman, I couldn't even sit up. I just collapsed on the cushion that she put me on. And as he started singing, there was something so incomprehensible happening. Like, I was understanding what the song was about beyond the words. It was doing something that I couldn't even imagine possible. And by the time he was done singing to me, I got my bucket and I was able to walk back to my mat in complete peace.
When I was working with the Chipibo, they said really clearly that even though we recognize that ayahuasca is the real curandera, right, the medicine, the healer, it's the Ícaros that tell it what to do and where to go.
Los Ícaros salen de las palabras según las plantas maestras que vienen.
For Chipibo shamans saying that in a dieta the Ícaro came out of the plant talked to me and taught me the Ícaro. Someone else may say, being on ayahuasca, I was inspired to feel and hear this melody, compose this melody. I think they're one and the same, and it's very, very complex, but there are different narratives and different ways of talking about what's going on. It's far more complex than we can conceive, that it can accommodate an infinite of different ways of talking about the processes.
Where we're receiving from is a mystery, but I've definitely had the experience of something just feeling like it's coming through another dimension, or as some people say, being channeled.
The medicine brings us a lot of different metaphors. So they, if they saw a bear in somebody, they would see their anger, or a lion in someone, they would see their anger. So if they were working on a big dragon, they wouldn't necessarily sing really strong to that dragon. They would go really quietly and move into that energy, almost to trick it, to kind of get in there to do the cleaning.
One time where I was just beginning in the shamanism, and I looked over and I saw a shaman singing to somebody, and I saw this energy vortex come out of there, you know, with the song, the Ícaro. It was this tunnel of energy that had this vibration moving through it, and then it came to the person's body. And in that moment, when they merged and were interacting, it opened a little window. I could see over the shaman's shoulder. I saw a little, like a television. I could see inside the person's body, like the way you can with a, you know, the surgery. Open and look around.
The song is affecting us on the emotional level. It's impacting the autonomic nervous system, helping it shift from sympathetic to parasympathetic. It's allowing us to establish contemplative, meditative, transcendental, mindful states. It quiets the mind.
Nosotros cuando conectamos somos como una antena. Eso se dice cano. Cuando yo canto Ícaro, la cano y un bueno quiere decir estoy conectando.
The experience with ayahuasca, with the Ícaros, is a correction, is a realization to how we got lost in the misguided perception, into going into the inception of how this sense of loss was caused by a traumatic experience, by, you know, conditioning or PTSD, and the correction comes from within.
My duty as a professional athlete was to win the races. I was very unconsciously attached to success. If I didn't win, that was a failure.
Not on pour, why? Not on pour.
There was this ceremony in which the medicine showed me a particular episode of when I was a junior swimmer. And I went to the European Junior Championships and I took prelims as a joke and I ended up missing the final for 1 cent of a second. I went to these championships ready to win. So I can't tell you how disappointed I was, you know, like I felt like I let down my world at the moment. The ayahuasca showed me how I was still carrying the sadness. I seen the disappointment in my father's eyes, in my coach. You know, the people that were there had an impact on me. Like that particular moment in my life that had so much hype and expectations and me not being able to live up to those expectations had influenced me later on also. That shock was preventing me also from being more daring in life, for example, because of my fear of failing.
I was born with a condition called congenital amputation. And there was not a lot of education around that. So I've experienced a lot of shame and a lot of like a treatment, like I was not human enough or capable enough. And unfortunately, a tremendous part of that thinking came actually from my family, from people who raised me. And so my coping mechanism was built around the identity of proving people wrong about myself. I realized that no matter what I could achieve, no matter how well educated I was or informed, the feeling was still there. And the realization that even though I spend so much time and energy proving other people wrong, deep inside, I took on those beliefs. And unknowingly lived my life out of that place.
In one ceremony, I found myself sitting with five other guys, and they were all me, and they were all parts of me that I either ignored or rejected or suppressed. And it was a very difficult thing to do, to be sitting with the part of me that is vengeful, the part of me that's lustful, the part of me that is envious, the part of me that is destructive, the part of me that wants to steal. I couldn't even look at these guys. I couldn't look. I could just sit there, and I knew that I couldn't leave. But it was by choice. I stayed. And it was incredibly difficult to even look at these guys because they were all me and they were all pretty awful.
I started to bawl. All I could hear was my sorrow. I realized during the song that my anger was my weakness. It was like kryptonite. It stole my power. It took away from me everything that was strong.
Me sentía mal, pero muy mal.
y seguía volviendo y volviendo y volviendo. Y pasaba el tiempo y yo veía más cosas, y cosas raras. Veía como animales que pasaban volando y que corrían. Y era mucha actividad en mi cabeza. Les dije que le hablaran al doctor porque yo pensaba que mi presión había bajado.
That happened to me a couple of times when I got scared about the power of this medicine. And then it just brings me down very quickly, and I feel bad, I feel nauseous.
As soon as I drink it, like, I feel it hot, and then pretty soon after I puke it up. So I haven't gotten the full effects.
There was the spirit of the medicine caressing me, telling me that wasn't a big deal to like lose a race. You know what I mean? That kind of consoling, loving energy, I didn't experience that time. And so the healing arrived, in which she helped me understand that my sense of worthiness have nothing to do with winning a race or winning anything or losing anything. You know, it's something that goes beyond. But also at the same time, in that release, I felt like space was created. And that gave birth, basically, to like a Vanni that was a lot more fearless. So at that point, the master plants, you know, opened the gate for me to reclaim my creative love, creative force.
The unfolding of that journey was actually getting in touch with vulnerability and receiving something rather than giving something, and receiving something when I didn't have that wall because I was so deep in my effect and I did not have the coping mechanism that I could grab onto to go back to my original safe zone. And that was one of the very challenging and very healing things that happened during the ceremony.
I started to feel more okay with these other people. It felt a little somehow safer. After some time, the most magical thing happened. They were all little boys, and they were me. And for the first time, I felt love and compassion for those parts of me that I had just, you know, rejected for so long. And to just, to be able to embrace them as little children, I cannot describe to you what the wholeness that has resulted from being able to choose to do that. If I cannot love and accept my own dark parts, I will never be able to accept the dark parts of another, which means I cannot love them. Because love is exactly that.
De pronto se me aparece una tía que yo quiero mucho, que yo sentía culpas hacia ella, pues me sentía que le había fallado, y hablamos, y fue para mí muy emotivo. Y lo último que que vi fue unas luces de colores muy bonitas, de colores azules, rosas, blancos. Eran como foquitos, como una cortina, y estaban danzando, como que se iban de un lado hacia otro. Fue algo impresionante, que me tranquilizó. Malísimo con la
ayahuasca.
Sí, me puse malísima porque me empecé a sentir mal, y yo les dije que me sentía mal porque dije, seguramente mi presión está bajando. Sentía que mi pecho me lo abría, así que me metían algo por dentro en mi pecho, y como que me empujaban hacia afuera, y mi corazón latía horrible, así fuerte. Y entre esas cosas, en lo que venía el doctor, se me aparece Chofi. Y fue muy impactante, porque yo siempre he tenido esa culpa de haberla sacado de la casa. Y ella, yo le pedí perdón. Y ella me dijo, no, mi muchachita, no me tienes que pedir perdón. Yo te quiero mucho. Y vas a estar bien. Me abrazó y se fue. Fue muy impactante para mí. Llegó el doctor, me checaron y me dijo que tu corazón está perfecto, tu presión está perfecta. Tú estás bien, no te preocupes. Se quedaron ahí checándomela como 3 veces.
It can be very difficult sometimes. That's part of it. I can say I've witnessed that many, many, many times. When people are very terrified and frightened and stuck, or they're in pain, or all the different things that can happen. And then through support in the ceremony by advanced practitioners, more often than not, we could get people to progress and evolve past where they were stuck at.
I felt this sense that God was watching me. Loved me no matter what. That I should love myself first.
Well, my experience has mainly been puking a lot.
Ayahuasca shatters our defenses. It's kind of like the only choice is surrender. And it's in that moment that all the things we've been holding on to, all the things that we've been taught, and all the ways in which we have been instructed, you have to be this way, fall away. And we're like, because in the surrender is when the liberation comes.
It creates an opportunity to renegotiate the experience so as to be able to gain something different from it. The experience itself doesn't change, but my relation to the experience changes.
I was preparing to take that dangerous highway, and I was like getting really, I was ready, like my body was ready to manifest, to suffer from that fear that I had about the highway. And so I'm like holding on to my wheel, and I realized that I'm not afraid.
There is a potential of very powerful healing that happens. So there's many, many stories of that, but we cannot downplay the reality that in most cases, the integration process is extremely crucial to the success of the healing.
You can drink ayahuasca 100 times and still be in the same place.
I got homework from the mother. She told me in a ceremony that I had to do a celibacy diet in order to get to where I needed to get to. That's a long story. We won't get into that. But that's what I needed to do. And she said a year.
And that night I was like, a year? No, this is crazy, a year. How about 6 months? And then she said nine. I was like, okay. So we settled on nine.
You blow apart this default mode network. You disrupt these bad behavioral patterns, you know? But the default mode network is very resistant. So it, you blow it apart, but it will fall back together. It will collapse back together.
The experience of that celibacy dieta was to integrate all of those parts of myself that had been exposed and had risen to the surface through ceremonies.
Emotional intelligence and understanding our emotions and navigating our emotions, that's not the realm of the mind. And so the common thread that I see is disengaging from what we know and willing to step into something that cannot be explained but can only be experienced.
I spent a lot of time alone, but for the first time, it wasn't intolerable and even enjoyable at times.
The healing, I believe, is in bringing the heart into a state of vibrancy and shaking off the flakes of everyday life that put limitations on how deep one can feel love or forgiveness or gratitude.
Ultimately, it's only about that we have all a better life quality.
The measure is not how much you can drink and how often and who you saw and what you experienced. The measure is how healthy are you? How healthy are your relationships, your intimate relationships, your family relationships, your friends, your community, your society, your ecosystem? That is the measure of health.
My relationship with the success. If before success for me was to meet the expectations of people, my own expectation, now success has nothing to do with the thrill of a victory. We are happy in a community, family is healthy, your body is healthy, your relationship are healthy. That's where my happiness is. Just like ayahuasca uses a symbolic language, which is the visionary world of your psyche, you know, to convey certain messages to you. And I use a symbolic language, which usually is inspired by the natural world, to convey a vision and messages that perhaps can facilitate an inner dialogue in the viewer that may help arise a personal revelation about interconnectedness, about being one with nature, about the nature of consciousness, about what it means to be human.
Bueno, para mí yo veo, ¿no? En nuestra cultura sería extendido la ayahuasca al mundo. Y yo tengo que llevar en mi futuro y para el mundo.
In terms of the difference that it can make in the culture, when you look at the corruption, you know, the banking schemes, all the propaganda and education, the fake media and the toxic food and the toxic pharmaceuticals, and so everywhere you look, it just isn't human beings being true to life.
The Shipibo started to see the world was really in need of healing, and they're in their local villages. They're not really moving around globally. But the information they were getting within their ceremonies was that the Westerners are going to come, start sharing the medicine so they can bring it forth.
Ayahuasca is a powerful tool for assisting the individual in actually finding that inner truth and then living that truth. And as each of us do that as individuals, it builds a culture where not only can we support each other, but it becomes harder and harder for those who aren't being true to themselves to actually get away with it.
I know for a fact, a couple of years ago, I would not be able to sit in front of a camera without a prosthetic arm. Today, I feel so much more free. And it doesn't mean that I still don't get the looks or awkward questions, but I feel like if I can do it and I can be the stand, then I hope that it serves other people as an encouragement in believing in themselves.
Me ayudó muchísimo. Fue algo impresionante. Es algo que nunca voy a olvidar.
Para vivir esta vida tan difícil, tenemos que sanarnos. Para vivir bien.
These indigenous people are the bearers of the great mysteries of the past. And I think we need to respect that there may be something to their medical models that we could learn from.
Ayahuasca, it's been used by shamans in, you know, for thousands of years. So they have their own paradigm and their own model about it.
A spiritual practice of ayahuasca ceremony, it is a form of spiritual healing, you know? And in that sense, it is a form of spiritual practice.
I like working with people because I love being the witness of the transformation, and there's no greater reward than seeing somebody coming back to themselves.
If my first time to Peru was a vision at the top of the mountain, the second time to Peru, she knocked me off the mountain all the way down. It has been very difficult at times, but the difference is I'm back at the top of the mountain, but with the experience of climbing it.
Ayahuasca is making her way around the world, making her way to people. So, like, this is happening.
I think the spreading of ayahuasca in the world has to do with, like, a shift in consciousness that it's happening all throughout. I am very hopeful, and I believe that ayahuasca and this master plan, they're gonna assist us in this shift.
In one ceremony, the mother showed me the earth. And then from a little spot in Peru, a tiny little light emanated and then started shooting up towards North America. And then another, and then another, and it started covering the world. But then from those other places, the lights started emanating, and before you knew it, there was this earth that was covered in a completely beautiful grid of light. And as I'm seeing this beautiful thing, she whispers to me, "This is how I'm going to change the world."